Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16. Well, one of the things I don't like doing is preaching the ceremonial days of Easter, Christmas, even New Year's Day. You know, I think there's too much chicken in people's minds and rice that and too much expectation of what you are supposed to preach. I was actually tempted, and up to a few hours ago, I thought I was going to be continuing on God's organogram, actually. But I felt God, you know, direct me differently. So I'm going to talk about a baby savior is confusing. A baby savior is confusing. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The foundation of our faith, or the foundation of the gospel, is actually very controversial. It's called faith because you just have to believe. Amen. You know, people will ask you many things. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it said his name shall be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So there was an expectation of a savior. You know, this savior will save his people from their sins. But, actually, I thought there was no children's church today. So where were they gone? You know, but the Savior comes, and in all honesty, back then, even the Jews, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 3, what's the advantage of the Jews? It said, the advantage they have is that to them were first committed the oracles of God, or the words of God first came to them. That's the only advantage they have, you know, and that means that you and I have an advantage today because God's word is available to us. So when you talk about the Jews and how special, I've spoken about that some time ago, what the Bible tells us is that what makes them special is that they had the oracles of God delivered to them first. But then first doesn't mean best. Can I have an amen? How many people know the first television station in Nigeria? Huh? You don't know? Eh? First television station in Nigeria. WNTV, where is it? In Ibadan. Yeah, so it became what? WNTV became, well, metamorphosed into NTA, and it's in Ibadan. So it's the first. I'm not sure it's the best. So the first doesn't mean the best. So unto the Jews came first, the oracles of God, that's the advantage they have. So what I'm trying to say to you is that they have that advantage, made them special. There's something special about the Jews. However, there's something very special about the Christian. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if it's the word of God that makes the Jews special, that word of God, and beyond what the Jews know of the word of God, because usually the Jews deal with the Pentateuch, which is the first five books. Largely, of course, they have all the laws and all of that, but largely, their real strength and all of that was those five books. They master them. They know those books. The rabbis are experts at studying. Of course, it was written in their languages and all of that. But then that book, in fact, the whole Testament, the whole of the Old Testament has been expanded since then. Do you understand what I'm saying? The syllabus has expanded, but they are staying with the old syllabus. So we have an advantage. We have both the old syllabus and the new syllabus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which is the last verse, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And you say, colon. What is that? It's expanding, or it's explaining what he's saying. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness is being like God. You know, so great is this mystery of being like God that we're talking about, that the gospel is all about. Why? He said God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. So like I said to you, the real problem we have now is that a baby savior is confusing. So when the Jews had the word of God, they were waiting for a savior. But when that Savior came, they didn't recognize him. Okay, why? Because he came among them. Maybe if he went elsewhere, I don't know what would have happened. But because he was among them, they saw him born as a baby. Are you with me? They saw them wash his bum bum. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In those days when our children were first born, one of the things I hated the most were diapers. I hated diapers because once you go grocery shopping and we go to the supermarket, let's go and shop for the month. The diapers took about half or more of all the money. I hated diapers. I thought, what in the world is this thing that just takes all the money away? And then, bad enough, sometimes you just bath for the child and all that. Then you put a new diaper, and 5 minutes later, he poops inside it. I say, come on. This thing that we've just put, why didn't you poo before we had your bath for you? And do you know how much this thing costs? Are you with me? But they watched a Savior like that. Why am I saying that? What's my objective this morning? Is that sometimes God is doing things or God is in your situation where it doesn't look like it. Are you getting me? It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like what you've been expecting. God comes, you've been praying and all of that, praying about something, praying about that. But it doesn't look like it when it actually shows up. You'll have to be sensitive to know that God is leading me. God is helping me. God is taking me somewhere. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? You know, I was listening I haven't heard the whole stretch of it, but I was listening to part of Ellen Paul's talk that she gave recently that went viral and all of that. And what the part that I listened to blessed me so much. She said there she was a receptionist in a place where they did whatever productions and, they would do voiceovers and all of that, adverts for products and things. She said, so she was a receptionist there. I don't remember how much she said she was collecting, maybe 5,000 naira or something. She said she was just a receptionist. And then they were going to do a voiceover something for an advert for milk. And they were expecting a child to come who would speak in that thing. Yeah, you know, mommy, I want milk. She said, and when they were waiting to do that thing, the child didn't show up. She said, and then her boss walked up to her. No, somebody then mentioned to her boss and said, Ellen, that's her voice that she uses to play all the time. Call her. Maybe she can do this thing. He said, and her boss came to her and said, Helen, come, do you think you can do this thing? Listen to what I want to do. I said, I can try. So they took her into the studio and she did it. And that's what they do. That's what she did. And recorded that thing. She said the next thing she knew, bam, 200,000 naira. From 5,000 at the reception. That's how she stepped into her destiny. That was the introduction to everything she's doing now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when it was going to start, it was a case of, in fact, if she said, her boss told her and said, Ellen, if you can do this thing, they'll pay you. She said, forget the money. I don't care, but forget the money. She said, but when the money hit, she couldn't believe it. And that was the beginning. Are you hearing me? A baby savior is confusing. I preached years ago also on a dying Savior. Can you trust in a dying Savior? And that is that when the disciples have walked with Jesus for many years and things had been done, you know, miracles and all of that, and then you now stay there, you believe in him because he has done many things. But now that they are flogging him and they are nailing him to the cross and he's not coming down, will you continue to believe? Are you hearing what I'm saying? In the same vein, that's the end of his life. But in the same vein, the beginning of his life was confusing. That's why I said great is the mystery of godliness. That's why many people have the trouble today is the fact that they can't believe that this is God's salvation method and message to the world today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If everything about God could be figured out with my head, then he can't be God. I mean, what do you think? If everything about God is something that I can figure out by myself and all of that, then God can't be God. So years ago, went to do a church plant somewhere in Ibadan. And that's where I met Brother Kola, you know, many, many, many years ago. And every time we would arrive, you know, to have fellowship in this area, I didn't know. It was just a case of God is leading us to this place, you know, and went there, let's start fellowship. We don't look for, cog or anything to start. We just start. So we just meet, let's gather somewhere, we gather. And we just start, you know, praying, sharing God's word. And that's what we're doing. And that's when I met him first. Well, in a sense, but that's where I met him. So we got there, and the place, the venue we could find was a school, a primary school hall, you know, and well, classroom, I think it was, that we were meeting. But what I did not even know was that that whole area was Islamic, you know, so everybody around were Muslims. It was a very Islamic environment. I didn't know that. But I discovered that every time I arrived, somebody will stand outside and be screaming. Olorun Obimo, Enikan Osibi, meaning God has no child and nobody gave birth to God. Are you hearing me? What was the problem? They have a problem with this thing, this baby savior. Did you know that Jesus was in the Quran, or Jesus is in the Quran? But he's a prophet in the Quran. They can't accept that he was the son of God. And then they say what? It's the same God. 1 John 2:23 says, he that does not have the son does not have the father. So you must believe in him as the son of God. Otherwise, you can't get to the father. Are you hearing me? So this guy will announce and announce, Olorun Obimo, Enikan Osibi, Olorun Obimo, Enikan Osibi. So I knew the core of their anger was that it's not possible that a baby will be the savior of the world. You know, long story short, after a long time, they plotted all kinds of things against us. Many of those things I had no clue about. Maybe one day Brother Kola can share the story better than me. You know, but I had no clue about it. But we were there for a few months, sharing God's word every week. And then one day God said to me, leave. You know, and then we left. I said, yeah, the job is done. We are going. And we left. I had no clue what was going on in the background. But that very week, they fought themselves like crazy and injured themselves, weapons, you know, people landing in hospitals and all of that because of us. And I was only hearing. I didn't even know things had gotten that bad. Are you with me, anybody? Now, if you take what I'm saying to you, and you go to Matthew chapter 2. I won't read Matthew chapter 2 because we read that on Thursday night. So if you missed that, too bad. But Matthew chapter 2 is about the wise men. So if you've heard about the wise men before, the Bible says they saw the star, they followed the star, they got to where it was, and they saw the baby. The baby, remember, they saw the baby. And they worshipped him. Then you begin to realize that what they did was very powerful. Because they were looking at the same baby that is still confusing people till date. That was the savior, but doesn't look like it. And are you following me this morning? And yet they could recognize him for who he was and worshipped him. If you go the same way and you go to Luke chapter 2, okay, Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that there was a man by the name of Simeon. They brought Jesus to the temple to dedicate him. And a man came out by the name of Simeon, and he took that baby, and he looked at the baby, and he said, thanks be to God who has caused me to see this day. He said, because you have told me that I will see the Savior before I go. He said, now let your servant depart in peace. Again, what he was saying was probably very confusing to many people around him because he's holding a baby. Are you hearing me? What is God handing to you? What is God doing in your life, but you can't recognize that that is God at work? Are you with me? You know, for a few months, this year, it looked like things were not working. My wife's contract ended, and usually before it ends, she has interviews and blah, 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 and there was none. Nothing was working. And just shortly after that thing ended, she had two interviews. First one didn't take her. The second one took her, but they gave her a better offer than anybody else had ever given. Are you with me? And, you know, by the time I arrived then, she was telling me, it's strange. It's strange that I don't even, it's not, you can do interview and they don't give you. She said, but it's strange not to even get an interview at all. What was happening? God was at work. Because if she had gotten an interview and done any of those ones, she would still be in the contract when the advert for this one comes out. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? And then by the time when this one comes out, she won't even be looking. And she would have missed this one, which was ideal for her. Are you with me? We need revelation knowledge to live our lives successfully. We need revelation knowledge. Brother Kola is nodding because, you know, he tells me sometimes with his job, God tells him where to pick passengers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he drives again up. He says, God tells him where to pick his passengers up. Go this way, go this way, go this way. Very often, we are faced with what God is doing. He's staring us in the face, but we can't tell. Because he's a baby savior. As a child of God, where your faith ought to be anchored is on God's word. And when things are happening, many times the way you expect them to, and sometimes the way you don't, you need to know that even at the times when it looks like, or it doesn't look like what you were looking for, you need to know that God is in that situation somewhere. Are you with me, anybody? You know, years ago, we had a couple believing God for children and all that. And of course, you get worried as time progresses. So one day, I went to visit them at home. And apparently, when I said I was coming, they were waiting. They had prepared that, today, not today. It will have to, you know, pray, share, whatever, tell us what God is saying. So I went there, you know, visited, we talked a little bit, then we talked about this matter, and I said, you know what, I prayed for you before. Not anything, not publicly, but in my private time. I said, and in my prayer, I can't seem to sense anything. I said, so you know what that means to me? There's no problem. You'll be all right. And I walked away. And the lady said, my husband told her, is that all? Because I just thought to myself, I prayed about this matter. God didn't show me anything. I didn't see any wahala. I said, so as far as I'm concerned, there's no problem. Are you hearing me? I think it was Gennadigan that says, I go as much by what God says as with what he doesn't say. Because he was preaching sometime, he was in somebody's house, and then they said their child was missing. The child was supposed to go take a bus, go to another town, and then was missing. So he said he was in the room, you know, praying, preparing for his meeting, and he could hear crying. And he came out and said, what's the problem? They said, well, this child is missing. He said, and he told them, well, she'll be found. And he said, what do you mean by she'll be? Did God tell you? He said, no. He said, but I go as much by what he says or by what he doesn't say as I go with what he says. He said, because usually if I'm staying with people and something really bad was going to happen, I would know. He said, so that he hasn't said anything to me, that child will be found. Are you there? About a year later, we were dedicating the couple's child. You know, God didn't say anything. There's no problem. So don't make a problem where there's none. Are you with me? So Simeon came, grabbed the child, and thanked God. Right after Simeon came a lady, Anna. The Bible called her a prophetess. She was 84 years old. I like her. I mean, if there was time, we'll read all of those scriptures. Maybe we should read it. Luke chapter 2, so that you stop looking at me like that. Luke chapter 2. Luke 2. Are you there? Let's see. Okay. So from verse 23, you see Jesus presented in the temple. We read from verse 25. The Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. That's what I was saying to you earlier. You have to live by revelation knowledge. Are you hearing me? You have to live your life by revelation knowledge. Proverbs 29 verse 18. He said, where there's no vision, the people will perish. One says, where there's no vision, the people run helter-skelter. Or is it helter-skelter? Or kitty-kata. They run kitty-kitty-kitty-kata. Where there's no vision. But what is the word vision in that place? It's not talking about your eyesight. It's not talking about your ambition. That word vision means revelation. So where there's no revelation, the people perish. Where there's no revelation, the people just keep running helter-skelter, like we always say, a headless chicken. Have you ever tried to kill a chicken before? And you cut his head, but you forgot to hold it down. You forgot to hold it down. Then what happens? He jumps, or you try with a turkey. And if you stand up, bam. Then you think you are watching a horror movie, have you? And sometimes as it charges at you like this, you will take off running. You are the same one who cut his neck. Are you still there? So you have to live by revelation knowledge. Again, verse 26. It says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in what? The child Jesus. Can I hear you say the child Jesus? There's a child. They brought in the child. To do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. This child I'm looking at, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. So all that has come to pass. Abby? All that has come to pass. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So imagine they usually would marry very early, in their late teens maybe. And this woman, just 7 years after marriage, lost her husband. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Just a side one there. When it comes to serving God, we will need to do a lot more teaching. Okay? So this woman's service of God was not carrying chairs, was not anything. She served God with what? Fasting and prayer night and day. She was making things happen on her knees. Are you hearing me? And coming in that instance, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, if we had, you could now flip down to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9, Paul was then writing. He said, I'm zealous. I'm concerned about my people Israel. He said, why? He said, because that Savior came amongst them, but they did not receive him. Abby, you remember that scripture that said he came to his own did not receive him. So you can imagine two people here could see and sense this is the salvation, child Jesus. But yet, years later, Paul was writing to the Romans and he said, look, my own people have refused to see that that was the Savior that lived and died among them. Why? Because he came as a baby. You know, maybe it would have worked better and easier if you were God. If you were God, how would you have presented Jesus as the Savior of the world? How would you do it? He will come on a horse, riding in the clouds. Abi, even if he's going to come and live in Israel, Abi, you make sure it's a glowing white horse. and he's just descending from the clouds. And there are angels marching behind him. Huh? And then when he arrives, you will know that that is the Savior of the world. He won't even have that problem, at the very least, of not having space in the inn. Abby? How can they not have space in the inn? For the Savior of the world. And you are God. You didn't throw thunder and scatter the whole inn. Or kill one or two people so that you create space in the inn. But he was bumped from the inn. Can you imagine that? He was bumped from the inn that there's no space. And so he ended up in the manger. The Yoruba one is better, isn't it? Ibujero. That's a better one, Ibujero. Meaning that's the house of the animals. Ibujero. That's where they put the Savior. So he's not just a baby. He's actually in Ibujero. And that's where the wise men came and they saw and worshipped. Are you with me? Go to Mark 6. Mark the 6th chapter. I'll try to wrap up, don't worry. Christmas messages ought to be short, isn't it? Somebody was sitting in church and apparently had left food on the fire at home. And the more the preacher went, the longer the preacher went, lady go, oh! Hey! She was trying to, she would remember. Yeah! The preacher thought it was a revelation. The thing was moving her. So the preacher would preach more. And preach more. He would preach more. And the woman was thinking about the food that will probably burn in the house. Are you with me? Okay, Mark chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? But such mighty works are performed by his hands. Now hear what they said. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Why? Because teaching is the antidote to unbelief. Abi? The word is antidote to unbelief. But can you imagine the issue here? I think I touched something around this. I titled it Shades of Unbelief. Shades of Unbelief. Meaning unbelief has different sides. There's the unbelief of, you know, can it do mighty things? But that's not what we're reading here. The unbelief here is that they were too familiar with him. You know, and they said, is this not the carpenter? Not carpenter's son. No. So, you know what that means? It means that as the carpenter's son, he actually had to learn carpentry. Are you with me? It means that as the carpenter's son, he was an ordinary everyday boy who was learning carpentry in his father's workshop, and they would tell him, carry that wood and put it up there. And we are straightening it here, and he would straighten it there. And everybody who came to the shop saw him doing that. And after a while, his father could say, go and make that chair for that man. So is this not the carpenter? Are you with me? The fact that he seemed ordinary, the fact that he was one of them, they said, we know the brothers. You know, so for those who didn't know that he had brothers, they said, we know the brothers, even the sisters we know. And the Bible says they were offended at him. So they took that to heart and thought, nah, this guy is not serious. He didn't appear even as a young man like the Savior of the world. Are you with me? And yet he was there with answers for them. He was there, he could help them. He helped other people, but he couldn't help the people in his own hometown. The Bible says the real problem with that kind of situation is not that God does it or God stops being God. He said what then happened to them is that he could not. Okay? Not that he would not. There's a difference. He would not means he did not want to do it. He could not means that even if he wanted to, he couldn't do it. So when you can't recognize God in some of those circumstances, even if God wanted to help you, he can't help you. The miracles, the breakthroughs that God has for you, if you will not see God for who he is in that circumstance, then God can't help you. He could not. He wanted to do it, but he could not. The Bible says, except that he laid hands on a few sick folk. In the original Greek, what it says is that he laid hands on a few sick folk with minor ailments. So the best he could do was a headache, not a tumor of the brain. Are you with me? The best he could do was just to take care of a little body ache. And yet, there were many conditions there that could be healed and were being healed in other places, but he could not help those people. And their real obstacle was that they couldn't see him for who he was. Are you with me? There are many things God is doing in your life you'll have to be able to see. And see that God is working. God is working. I told you before, somebody lost millions of naira. And said, and I was told, he's worried that he doesn't want to be poor. He doesn't want to be poor. I said, it's too late. It's too late. I said, because he lost millions, but he's still there. He's still driving around. He's still eating. He's doing everything he's supposed to do, but he lost millions. I said, no, it's too late. He needs to see. You need to see that God has already blessed you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? On Friday, I was having to sit with someone, and I was explaining also to her, and I said, you know, very often, when you say, for instance, poverty mentality, I said it affects both the rich and the poor. And it's just about what you see. There are rich men who have strong poverty mentality because they are constantly afraid that something will go wrong. They will not be able to afford this tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, whereas what the believer ought to be looking at is that the path of a righteous shines brighter and brighter. Are you hearing me? You are not who you used to be, isn't it? Some years ago, there are things you couldn't buy, but you are buying them now. And so expect it to always keep improving that way. It's when you can recognize and say, yeah, I'm not that great as I want to be yet, but I can see that I'm not who I used to be. That's you recognizing and seeing that the Savior is already at work in your life, though he might look like a baby.